Now, you touched on the whole thing about paying for dinner, and the man should offer on the first date. But I guess, you know, from there on out, you know, things are different. Women earn a lot more money now. Should they be sharing, you know, the bill in the future, or how should that work?
Well, I think that's going to depend on the relationship. There's a number of different ways I've seen this happen. Sometimes you make the same income as the man, and I believe that you should try to even out who pays for what, maybe go half and half.
Right.
There's other times where the guy has made significant amounts more than myself or whoever they're dating, and maybe you need to work out another scenario with that one. And women have a tendency to do a lot of nice things for men, and they feel that appreciation is showed by them paying for dinner. And
okay.
Like you said, we're starting to get away with that with us being more equal.
Right.
Yes, if the girl's helping to pay, then the guy needs to realize how to show appreciation in another way for the nice things that the woman does, the cooked meals at home if she is cooking, or the babysitting, or, you know, watching the kids, cleaning the house.
Right, right.
And women need to understand that men also are doing more around the house, so maybe you need to look for how he is showing that he appreciates you in other ways.
Now, what about after the date? There's always, you know, always the talk about when should he call you or text you. What are the standards for that these days?
You know, what I concluded in my article is there really isn't any standard. It's all based on patterns after a while. People have a specific pattern they follow in life. You know, they do studies on that all the time, too. We're creatures of habit. Some people have it 2 days in their head, you know, talk every 2 days. Some people have once a week. Some people only talk when they need something.
Right, right.
What it is you have to give it enough time to establish a pattern and see if he deviates from it. That's
right.
When you know he's gaining or losing interest.
Okay.
So it's all about finding the benchmark.
Now, one of the big topics is always when to say I love you. Somebody's been dating a while. What's the standard protocol for that? And, you know, if it's uttered at a certain point versus another, does it mean one thing or something else?
Well, I pulled up the studies on that, and they actually did just do a study. They say right around 90-day mark is when most people say I love you.
Why 90 days?
Not sure why it's 90 days, but they have this theory that, you know, one of the main points of that article was they say, according to men in the studies they did, if he says it before 90 days, he's just trying to sleep with you. If he doesn't say it after 97 days, he's trying to sleep with someone else.
Oh. Wow.
So, you know, you always got to watch out for the guys that say it too fast. They're probably running a game. And girls, I guess, in that matter, too.
And what would be the motivations for girls on their end as far as their timing?
Well, from what the study said was girls that hear I love you before they start becoming sexual with their partner believe that he's just trying to get sex. And afterwards, they believe he's trying to stay, which goes back to evolution, that they're there to raise a kid and be there for the long haul, so she feels more comfortable.
Okay.
On the flip side of that, the guys showed that if they hear I love you from a girl before intercourse, that means the relationship's moving to that, which they ultimately want.
Okay.
If they hear I love you afterwards, it's a commitment.
So. Okay. Now, some view Grand Rapids is a big place, but I guess the reality is a bit different. Only a few degrees of separation between most of us. What challenges does that present for dating?
I guess a lot of the challenges is everybody knows your business.
Yes.
You try not to have a relationship with a person that had a relationship with a close friend, but because we are such a tight-knit community, it's bound to happen at some point in time.
Right.
Which brings up the honesty thing even more.
Sure.
Even more important and vital in a town like this.
Yeah. So if somebody feels a connection with somebody else who their friend dated, they should be upfront and candid with them and say, you know, look, I know you used to go out with this guy or this girl, and, you know, I really feel something for them, and let them know?
I believe if that friendship is vital to you in any form, yes, you should be open and honest. They're bound to run into you at the juice ball or, you know,
any number of events that are going
or
on.
Or restaurants.
Sure.
Or anything. They're going to run into you around downtown.
Now, do you feel that there's any differences for dating, whether somebody's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s?
Absolutely. Again, in your 20s, I believe that you're still looking for that perfect partner. And studies show we're waiting longer to get married. I believe it's the way we work now because we are evolving longer in life than our parents were. In your 40s, you know, a lot of us have already had a past life.
Right.
Possibly even divorces before that. So you got this whole other layer and dynamic to work with, somebody else's kids, blended families, ex-wives, ex-husbands. So there's a lot more variables into making that relationship work. In your 50s, I don't know, I haven't been there, and I really don't have very many friends that are in that arena at 50 and dating.
But I know, I'll watch TV. It seems like there's more senior dating commercials these days.
Yeah, it's got to be a growing demographic.
Or maybe I'm watching more senior TV.
Yeah, you should probably get out more during the afternoon.
I should probably. And then obviously it's an age-old thing, but what is it about women and bad boys? And is there a game theory angle on that as well?
You know, I haven't looked into that one, but that's an interesting topic. I do have an article coming up about a date I went on where the guy drank too much.
Okay.
And what that could tell us. So that'll be coming up in the next couple of months.
And what's a bit of insight you can give us on that to tease that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it comes up to there is this consensus or opinion that girls do want the bad guys. So what you're seeing is a lot of those good guys beginning to act like the bad boys, even though they're not.
Okay.
And then you see a lot of the bad guys that are trying to be especially sweet.
Okay.
So you got to weed out
those
people.
So nobody's being themselves.
No one's being themselves
anymore. But that kind of goes back to that first date thing where everybody's, kind of, it's like a job interview. Or...
Sure. And we all do like the bad boys because they're exciting and they're fun, but it's so easy to be a bad boy.
Sure.
What you want is a good person in the end. So.
But the drinking thing, I mean, if somebody's drinking too much on a first date, could that just simply be an issue of nerves?
It could be an issue of nerves. It could be an issue of they just didn't value the date very much and didn't care what your opinion
was.
They're an alcoholic. There could be tons of reasons why.
Right.
How do you figure out what the reason is?
Sure. And if folks want to check out your articles, where do they go? What's the website address?
It's www.womenslifestyle.com, and it's under the love category.
Okay. This is Paul Jendrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I've been joined by Christina Hallstrand. She's the dating diva for Women's Lifestyle magazine, and she's also a game theory professor for Davenport University. Thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Paul. It's great talking with you.